This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Stats, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. We go until 2. That gives us about 53 minutes or just under to make your contribution. And I want to start off by highlighting something positive sent to me here by Joanne Haig. And she's just highlighting the ad, and she gives props for the Fruit Trees ad. They're using Smokey Bird music, I see, LOL. Fruit trees are being delivered and all. NCC truck delivering over 3,000 trees, compliments Innotech. So we want to flag a positive. On the point with the Bruma, this guy wanted me to ask why so many Barbadians would say a would have. And that is, I had to let him know, it's just a bad habit. Even sometimes you try to sound fancy and say, I would have done this and I would have done that. Meaning they did it, but really and truly, the way the tense is set up, it means you would have done it and you have not done it. And it's something we continue to do. Someone is asking the question, what about the ponds, the pools, the jacuzzis, the swimming pools, etc.? In this water, scarce time, what is happening with those? And I understand those are under regulation as well. On the point of the pond, a pond can actually save you money in terms of a gardening and stuff. You use the pond to collect water and use that same water for the gardening. And as you top up with the rainwater, you can put out then with the actual, this is something I've done on a small scale already. Someone's making a suggestion here that the what the Water Authority should do for the folk in Sherbourne and these different troubled areas is actually let the water, the reservoir fill right up so they could pump right up. So just everybody will have to bear a little pain for a while, let the reservoir top right up so that everybody can get a little bit of water. Someone here is saying too that some unfair statements were made yesterday. There are some people who did not refuse to pay their bills, but there were no proper mechanisms to pay them. They could put a drop box or at least one cashier to take the payment through a glass or something. One last one before we go back to the lines. This one is saying, don't just let the big companies, the big associations advocate for the opening of big businesses. The small businesses like the hairdressers, etc., they need to open to contribute to the economy as well. Good points. Brass Stats, good afternoon. Welcome, you're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome, you're on the air.
Hey, well, afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah, can you hear me well?
Loud and clear outside of my earphone, giving a little trouble, but that's not on you, that's on me, so go ahead.
Yeah, okay, good. I just want to, very quickly, because I know you're pressed for time, straighten out something pertaining to the waterworks, the water issue that seems to be plaguing, especially up in St. John. Okay? I want the persons or the person that made some statements some time ago, I believe it was this morning, or I believe it was yesterday, to know that, and I want you to, maybe you remember, when the late David Thompson was alive, right, remember the amount of money that was spent in all the water mains that were being put down, even before the last election that we were currently building there, so in Tweedside Road, mm-hmm. that they started to put down in Tweedside Road. So I don't want people, before getting into much to it, because they just don't want to get into a lot of politics right now, because this is not really the time for that. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to be making statements and saying that the Democratic Labour Party did nothing for the water situation or anything like that. Don't come and say untruths or preach fairy tale stories, things that are not true, because I will not allow it, because that is not right. You understand? Right? Don't say those things. And I know you know Corey Lynn, because you know who you're talking to, and I know you. We both know one another. You understand? And
Wait, is you really saying, sir?
All I'm saying is that I don't want people to be saying...
Did you hear anybody say so for you there?
There were statements made.
Today?
There were statements made, I believe it was yesterday. There were statements made by particular quarters.
What, sir?
Saying
main lanes program was done under the last administration, in terms of the 2015 program, and then it apparently it continued.
But there were statements made.
People, is anything? Just move on.
Yeah, I understand that. But don't let them get away with that, especially if you want.
But nobody can with that today. Today brought you information from Maxine McLean, what was happening then, and I refer to what's happening now. I mean, we really?
Right. Once you get everything on board, that's all that matters.
Okay. Right? All right. Thank you, man. Brilliant contribution. Good afternoon and welcome.
Hi, good afternoon to you, Mr. Corey.
Hi, good afternoon.
Happy COVID-19 to you.
You know what's so happy about it, but you go along with that. You keep that.
What's happy about it. We should be thankful that it's COVID-19 and not COVID-17. Because if this crisis had struck us during the last decade, I think we might have fared far worse. Can you imagine the entire country waiting for...
I got enough pressure than to try to imagine that right now, sir. You want to give me a palpitation now? To bank here and all? I'm going to get long down, man.
What I want to do, Corey, if you don't mind, mm-hmm. is look at...
I mind, but get long.
Well, despite the fact you mind, I want to look at COVID-19 as it relates to black people, as it relates to Negroes. Mm-hmm. I hear the health authorities speaking of underlying health issues, diabetes and hypertension and so on, and it appears that in our society and in others, blacks seem to carry a disproportionately heavy burden of such health issues. Now, mm-hmm. underpinning these health issues are other important factors, and they speak to, for instance, attitudes, values, and behaviors. They also relate to, say, in the instance of, say, America, years of systematic racism. I heard on the news that in China, black people were refused entry into McDonald's restaurants because they're black, and that the Chinese were actually throwing out black students and black business people and so on, and targeting them as the ones responsible for spreading the virus, right? I want to suggest to you, sir, that as bad as this COVID-19 is, right, or as bad as COVID-17 might have been, there are still important underlying issues which need to be addressed. They speak to human attitudes, human behaviors, and human values, right? And I genuinely think that we as a people, black people, need to take a serious look at the way we conduct our affairs. It can never be satisfactory to me, personally, that in a society where, like you said recently, we are over 90%, we're approximately 95% of the population, mm-hmm. and yet we control such a, proportionately small amount of the wealth and resources in our country. It cannot be right. I'm saying to you that the same world problems remain, which is that black people need to learn to be more disciplined, more prudent, more intelligent in how they conduct their affairs, their economic and other affairs. I want to agree with Mohammed Nasser when he suggested that black people are their own biggest enemies. You know, and I'm saying that despite the rampant racism which has disadvantaged blacks in America, there's still many opportunities that we have had and still have to review and alter the choices we make. And I honestly think that until we as a people, and I as an individual, understand the importance of being able to say, mea culpa, I was wrong, I was mm-hmm. at fault, mm-hmm. I could have done things differently. The things I need to do now to adjust my trajectory. And as we continue blaming all our troubles on other peoples and refusing to recognize that we contribute to our own demise, we will always be the laughing stock of the world.
I agree. I think it's good points that you would have made. For some sectors of society that look into these things and study these things, and these are things that until and unless we address, we will not be able to get further. So good points. 17 after 1, Brass Stacks, the Wednesday edition. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, please.
Yeah, couple points. In Barbados and most of the Caribbean, I don't feel a lot of black people is the, I ain't got this, I ain't got that. But a lot of money black people just waste. We just buy a lot of things that you don't need it. Don't sit down and study it. I say that to say this. We need to teach our people how to manage money at every level, from the bottom to the top.
I agree.
We have a lot of people just spending money willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
That was just one point. Next point is this with the water. There's technology out there where people are taking the humidity from the air and generating water. Puerto Rico had an issue where all of their water was contaminated. They did a study. In order to get the right amount of water to Puerto Rico, it would have cost over $307 million by plane. I say that to say this. There's a man with a machine that generates that water. He's from Texas, near Moses West. Right now, St. John and St. Joseph got sporadic water if they get any. The guy says he could generate up to, his biggest machine is a 20-foot container. He could generate 14,000 gallons of water a day. The Caribbean is the ideal place for it for the, with the humidity. And I wanted to know, yesterday the guy said that we have one machine in Barbados, but a couple of those machines in the right places wouldn't be, where you feel it wouldn't be important, especially in St. Joseph, St. John.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be, you know, and it's something that, again, when we talk about looking into and these kind of terms, it's something we just need to get on with. And with these type of programs, these types of crises, these types of things happening, you always hope that it spur that extra action. You know, it put the wind in the sails to get the things you're talking about done. Because we could talk about these things forever.
But does, right,
it, move it, does it move the needle? And that's what we got to do. We got to move the needle.
Yeah, because the guy is also looking at, in Puerto Rico, when he went to Puerto Rico, that was the only machine in Puerto Rico with clean water. That they had in sewage, dead bodies, all these different things. Because, God forbid, it happened in Barbados. Yes, some aquifers may be above the sea level, may not be flooded with contamination. But let's say lower down. We can't provide enough water for all these people. Maybe we can get the water from. So if you got a machine that could generate water from the atmosphere, I feel that is a must. It could work.
We got looking at everything. Look at the cost benefit analysis, the viability for the environment, etc. And as I say, try it. Investigate it. Is it viable for here? Is it worth it? Is it carry the value? Let's go. If it doesn't, try something else. And that's the only way to do it. I want to thank you very much for your suggestions. As you say, we got to keep it moving. 20 minutes after one, this is Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, please. Hello.
Hi. My name is Ed Arligal, first time caller.
Welcome, 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 and an extra welcome to you.
First, I don't have to ask how the family is, because I check in already.
Yes, I realized that. It was too
well. And your rating's going up a little high again.
What, oh, dear? Car is you, the high, high,
my
high.
My favorite moderator.
What, oh, dear? Stop yes, it.
Mr.
Say
Lynn.
It again. Say it again.
Mr. Lynn.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Barbados is a water-scarce country. Everybody's saying that Barbados is a water-scarce country.
Mm.
In my research, and I check in, the water runs from these springs, that thing, Chihuahua Spring and all those other springs around the island, all in St. George, is full of springs. Mm. When it was at Lightning Power, you did check in and see all the springs that run to the sea 365 days a year. So I don't believe that it is a water-scarce country.
But
no,
the scarcity is measured, as I think I would have said already, based on the number of gallons you have per population. So these things are usually scientific measures. So you can have all the water in the world. What they measure is how many per gallons of potable water you have for the population. They work out the scarcity based on that. So the top 16 countries we fall into in comparison to water per person.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually pull it up, but go ahead.
But what about the water from potholes and all those springs that run into the sea?
Mm-hmm.
Can that be dammed? I heard a guy from this week, a farmer, said that in farmers, somebody dammed the water. They're not being thing, but somebody dammed water up there, and it can be done to the other springs that are around Barbados, and then fed back into the system or in the aquifers sort to feed Barbados, to play Barbados the water.
Right. A guy had actually called me and he asked some questions and he was able to reach out to Charlie Marvel, one of the top engineers in that Water Authority. One was talking about a fan mill and one was also talking about tapping into pool, a lot of water in pool. And what Charlie was able to point me to is the fact that pool feeds, I think he said, Bormanston and Grove. So if you actually trouble pool, you would affect what's happening down the line. So all of the things that we are thinking about are great suggestions and so on. There are people who are paid every day. They get up, and that is their job, to look into these things, and they've looked into them. And the reality is just that we're not having enough rainfall to think. Now, it says absolute water scarcity is considered for countries with less than 500 cubic meters a year, or 1,400 liters per day per person. If you have less than 500 cubic meters a year per person, or 1,400 liters per day per person in the country is considered water scarce. That's how they measure it.
Okay.
So we may have, if you consider pool and you consider tree houses and so on, you may have 1,000 liters per day per person. But if you have under 1,400, you're considered a water scarce country.
So then it's all right to let the water continue to run into the sea?
No. We got to tap that because we may have the 1,000 there and we may be getting 10 to the people. So if the sea already carries about 90% of the planet's water. So we don't need any more water. If we could capture that and use that, it also saves us in terms of pumping. It saves us months of waiting for water to get through the aquifers and so on. So my question to the powers that be then is, where are the mechanisms, where are the programs to actually start to capture a lot of the surface water? And I'm sure they may have some good answer for that, or they may not. But the only one way to find out is to ask.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Next thing, that the COVID-19, this is something that has affected the whole world. And from reading of my Bible, it tells me that this is prophecy being fulfilled. In the last days, there'll be diseases that you never heard anything about, and all these different things. But what our people have to do is to get back to God and pray and know that we are coming out in the last days. So much for that. I could quote a piece of scripture too, but I don't think I need to do that right now.
Mm-hmm. The issue people will always get, we can kind of wait, the issue people always get with the end times kind of like predictions is not only the scripture says no one knows the hour or the day, but going beyond that, I was reading some stuff that put out that said from 4 BC, 7 AD, there are all these predictions from as far back then where people were saying that the is the end time, that some things happen and people said it was the end time. We're talking about we are 2020 now. So obviously over the period of 2016 years, people start to say, White Hill.
Yes. Has that been a forgotten situation now?
Not for the people of White Hill, for sure.
But I don't hear anybody say anything about it, and so on. I haven't heard anything from the government saying about what they're planning to do about those people and whatever.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, the different priorities, obviously, that the powers that be will be chasing. As I said, when the shoe is burning your foot, or you're an empathetic person like yourself, I remember we visited White Hill sometime back. We don't have to live in White Hill to feel it. Some people do. Some people, because they don't live in White Hill, they wouldn't feel it. So obviously the White Hill people and people with empathy and sympathy will feel it. But from time to time, like now we have COVID, you would appreciate that the powers that be, their attention will be taken away from that, however temporary.
What we need, though, is some more town hall meetings that discuss the water situation and the White Hill one as well.
Not only town hall meetings, we need some action after them, because we could go there and talk, get dry.
Yes.
Then, you know, the situation remains the same. But I want to thank you for calling. I want to say welcome. And don't let this be your last. It may be your first, but don't let this be your last. A very shocking, pleasingly shocking call from you, sir. Thank you very much. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you?
I am fine, thanks. And you?
I'm getting problems filing my tax return. I called the number that the have up on the site saying to call if you got problems, but this is about a week now. So I don't know what's going on where that is concerned.
Mm-hmm. They did say that they have a skeleton staff in place. They are working from home. And anyone that has any issues can send the email to bramail@bra.gov.bb. And they're manning that particular email to get some things sorted out for persons who are trying to reach them or may have various problems.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, hi, good afternoon.
Hi. Earlier this morning, you would have had a few callers who were speaking about the call that the young lady made yesterday. But I guess everyone takes away what they want from a call. Mm-hmm. What I heard yesterday was her frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's understandable. Because why would you have numbers for persons to call who are in need and no one responds? What Peter, I think, was trying to explain to her is that at least she has something mm-hmm. provided to give her a cushion. Well, the other man has basically nothing. Mm-hmm. Because the buzzword going around is we are all in this together. And while we are all in this together, Corey, please understand that everybody in under the same umbrella,
mm-hmm.
because there are some of us who will be in this together and be able to drink champagne. There are others who will be able to drink a beverage, and others mm-hmm. who more or less will have to suck salt.
So for some reason, I believe I understand that very well, very, very well.
We are not all in this together.
We in this together, but different degrees. We don't have a choice to be in this together.
Exactly. But what I heard in that young lady's voice yesterday is frustration, and it's understandable. My husband would have applied for one of the passes from the, what do you call it, the emergency passes, because he has his nursing care. He does nursing care services, and this is like 3 or 4 weeks, and we have heard nothing from anyone. You call, you get no response, and it's frustrating. So you can't tell me to look out for people if you have dressings to change, if you have to look at wounds or whatever, and yet still there's nothing. There's no response. It's just dead silent. And if you're telling me you're providing X service or Y service, at least if someone is calling, please answer the phone. If you have an email, please respond timely. You message JS and they give you these generic responses. Which obviously, well, they're probably swamped with emails as well.
Take out probably. Take out the probably. Omit it. Rub it out. Scratch it out.
But
no, I want to say that there are two sides to this. There's the pain, hurt, and hunger on one side, which is very, very serious. I am experiencing it right now, even as I sit in this chair, and I may experience it periodically during the day because there's no place to get anything to eat. The one saving grace is that I have been able to go to certain places when I didn't have food that I can, you know, family, friends, different things to rely on. And on the other hand, there are very caring people I know personally that are working on the system. For instance, the Household Survival Program. People say you cannot even say no to answer the phone. Because when you have a telephone there, and when you answer the phone, 9 calls are coming through at the same time. So it's not humanly or technologically possible to answer all the calls. What is very important is responsiveness. And I sat in this chair, and I'm no hypocrite nor hypocrite. So I can tell you wherever I have my power, or I can use to say, listen, when I say power, I mean power that plug into the surge protector, to say, listen, we may not be able to answer all the calls, but we will return every single call. Now, it's one thing to ask people to be patient, but they're hurting, they're anxious, and so on. Now, so that creates lack of patience. But what that lack of patience also then creates, because the cycle is a clogging of the system, which slows down the system, which means you have to wait longer. So we got to ask ourselves some questions. We got to get into crisis mode. We got to get into survival mode. We've got to work harder on our end to get calls back out and help out faster. And we need, on the other hand, people to cooperate. Now, what we've done on our end, and we have some strategy meetings in terms of how we can improve that situation. But we've also moved from about 20 now to 60 volunteers. Do we need to go to 100? That is the question. Or do we need to find a mechanism that can actually speed up the system a little quicker? I have my suggestions, but one of the things that people forget from time to time is an advisor gives advice. and you know, sadly, you may not be able to go beyond that, but we need to understand both sides of this. Today I was saddened, I was hurt, but I kind of understand at the same time. People call me up to this morning and they say, listen, you could try to explain where y'all going through that. I don't care. You only care about me, flat out. I just letting you know. And I kind of, you know, you appreciate it honestly, but you're still blown away. Like, you got these people that working, you know, until 2 o'clock, and they come back at 6, and they ain't getting paid, and you kind of, like, salute them. You can't even give them a high five because of the COVID, you know, social distance, physical distance regulation. But what you can do is try to appreciate them. You feel bad when people on the other end just don't understand. And then on the other end, you do understand the hunger and pain out there. So it's really a balancing act. And with the best will in the world, you can't get away from this. I give you the final word as we go to a break.
As I have kept saying, yes, these are unprecedented times, but at the end of the day, you have to understand human nature. This is something that no one has been put in a position of before, but just respond. Even if you come with a generic response or whatever, just make people feel as though you're doing something. Don't just leave people high and dry. And I guess
I can't talk for all the programs, but I could talk about the one that I'm helping to coordinate. That is what we have done. The answer machine explains that the system will be logged and you will get a call back, or the phone is answered, one of the two. And then you do get a call back. But when you say to respond, if it takes 3 days to respond, in day one and day two, you do believe that you've not been responded to. But understand, as I said, we've actually had to ask people to forgive us, and they use this opportunity to ask Barbadians to forgive us. Volunteers will be calling you up to, some volunteers have called people up to 11 p.m. And I think we did that because we prefer for people to complain that we call late than complain that we didn't call at all, because they say better late than never. And most of the people have been very receptive, and we do apologize for having to call that late, but it's the only way we can get through the volume of calls. All right. That's your final word?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. Do have a good day, and thank you for calling. It's gone 26 minutes before 2 o'clock, 26 minutes before we strike up the band and head on home. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Corey.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Shonda. I'm calling on behalf of my mom, beautiful Barbados people. My mom isn't working, as you know, that they get laid off, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my mom isn't getting pension or nothing no more from the national insurance, but she needs help with some food. My daddy just get pension, but he, you know, you have to wait till the government send pension to him. But I would like the number that I could get somebody to help my mom, please.
All right, the one of the numbers is
535-5366.
No, the number is out there in social media, just mention it. So you're going to call it, and 10 people are going to be calling with you. So the odds is 1 in 10 that you will get the answer. Cause when you,
yes,
when you,
yes, I know.
So, but once the number is logged, you don't even have to have patience. You just have to have the number logged. The log is clear periodically during the day and sent to volunteers to call back. So once you call and it ring, you are logged. And I want people to understand that as a system, we have to work to get everybody call back at this time, yeah?
That's no problem.
Man, I appreciate you. I wish everybody was like you. Love you. Good afternoon.
Okay.
Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Mr. Corey.
Yes, please.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, sir, and the family is good, and how are you?
You know who the body is?
I know who the body is. One body talked like this, so I know who the body is.
I won't give you a number. I'll give you a number and call me when you reach home, please. It's very important.
Leave it with the producer. I don't want the whole of Barbados calling you, know. Well, if I wouldn't mind that, then they won't be calling me. But anyway, yes, you leave it with the producer. And we will give you a little call when we get a chance.
For you, and you will call me, please. Well, hold on.
No problem. Thank you. Brastats, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hello, my name's Andrew Hemsley.
Yes, please.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller, like one of your previous ones just a minute ago.
Welcome.
What I'm phoning about is I'm the guy that set up the online petition to free up alcohol sales in Barbados. Which was mentioned on the 12:30 news.
Yes, well, you're going to do that and give the people trouble.
I'm exercising my democratic right.
I hear you.
As are the other over 2,000 people who've signed it, saying they want the same thing to happen. Why I was phoning really was because there seems to be a bit of kind of debate about whether the thing is a hoax or a scam or whatever. And I think that probably originates with a Loop News Barbados article that was put up yesterday that for some reason he seems to think that because I don't have a Facebook page, I'm not real or something. I'm just trying to assure people that I do exist. The petition is online. Over 2,000 people have signed it so far. So clearly it's something that people do kind of support.
I know they have. Let me have this discussion with you. I think it's very important to do so. While Peter was discussing the idea of the alcohol and the rationale behind it, a friend of mine, good afternoon, Craig, he sent me two articles, one from WHO and one from PAHO, which was actually supporting the restricting of alcohol during the lockdown. Now, both of them go on to say, one, some people are actually believing that alcohol made you immune to COVID, but more so, they were advocating the reduction of it because they were saying that during this time, alcohol usually poses health risks, but in consuming it in this high-stress environment can lead to increased partner violence, anger, etc. So they go on to list a whole set of problems with it. So I would like to get your response on that. It says they can increase the risk of injury, violence, intimate partner violence, and can cause alcohol poisoning even on an increased level. This both WHO and PAHO, not me. I'm just a messenger. But so I would like to get your response to that.
Well, from what I've seen online, we're one of 8 countries in the world that's closed off alcohol sales. So it seems to me and the other 2,000 people, I guess, that we're kind of out of step with what's going on. Now, I can fully understand why the WHO would say what they say. But effectively, what's happening is, you know, 99% of Bajans are being put out to protect the 1% that it would be a problem for. And there's a whole bunch of people who want it opened up again. So I guess it's their democratic right to say that they do want that to happen. I mean, it seems to me that if we're not careful, we kind of rerun in miniature prohibition in the States. You know, the arguments that the WHO are putting forward would apply any time, you know, maybe a bit more now, but they'd apply any time. You know, if we really don't like alcohol, let's ban it. But I don't think you get much of a vote for that in Barbados, from what I've seen.
Right, I get you. And the whole idea of democracy is the ability really to express your opinion. So the 99% can express their opinion or desire for it to keep in a particular way. And it should never take away from the 1% also being given the similar opportunity to express the opposite. And I think that there's a saying, and I think it makes sense. The true democracy is usually marked by how you treat your minorities and people in minority opinion to you. So I'm seeing both of it. When I saw the whole idea, I was seeing both sides. And I saw the whole idea of the restriction of alcohol. My first thing went to alcoholics and how cold turkey and how the sudden removal of substance, the kind of effect and impact it has. And I was wondering how people that were in training for years, how would they cope in a time like this when it's suddenly gone? When I think about the shelter, it is reported in studies, a lot of people within like homeless shelters and so on, a lot of them on drugs and so on. We put them on a 24-hour curfew. Can you imagine a whole place cold turkey without trained staff to deal with things like that? And these are things that we really have to think about. And I'm glad you're able to verify that it is not a prank. And we also look at the other side in terms of the health and social safety relationship risk that it will carry at the same time. I guess the powers that be would have to now put these things on the perpetual, the proverbial scale and weigh and see the cost and benefit and go from there.
Yeah, I think it's just worth saying quickly that, I mean, I'm not trying to fight the government on this, and I don't think the other 2,000 people are. And I said at the top of the petition that, you know, this comes from a basis of supporting what the government has done. But I think you do have to kind of correct the measures en route, and they've done that with things like shopping hours and so on. And, you know, I would support things like the ban on rum shops being open because, you know, the last thing you want is kind of communal, you know, gatherings and stuff like that. But I don't think it's a bad thing if a supermarket or a mini bar market is allowed to sell alcohol, you know, on your designated alphabetical shopping visit. And I don't think it would be a bad thing if, you know, a liquor specialist was able to kind of sell online and home deliver. And I can't see how that would upset things in terms of COVID 19.
All right. So from here, we'll let the powers that be in the next address. I think they can come out. I didn't hear the last one, so I don't know if it was addressed in that. Actually come out and kind of indicate what would have been the rationale behind it. I know in the early stages, we had a lot of problems with people still going out and liming because one thing a good lime need is some alcohol for some people. Without the alcohol, there's no lime. So I guess that was in the early stages, that would have been the issue. And then when you look at the WHO and the PAHO considerations, I don't know if they took those things into consideration as well. But I want to thank you for calling and bringing that matter, some clarity to that matter. So do enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you for calling. Rastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, please.
Hi, Mr. Corey.
Hi.
Yeah, my favorite here on Peter.
Well, what am I talking to you? Oh, dear. Thank you.
Yeah, what did they tell you that I like to hear you on Peter?
No, the team, yes.
My name is Granny.
Hi, Granny.
Today.
Well, happy birthday on behalf of myself and Peter and the team, too. But on behalf of myself and Peter, happy birthday, man.
Thank you very much. Yes, my daddy. I would like to know if these people will pressure now and they will learn a lesson now by this thing that's going on, that to put down money when instead of buying a lot of rubbish, put down the money so that when the time comes, they can go and put out what they want. And what I said, how bugging people they want money, and the pandemic and vacation and layoff and whatnot, they have something there to go and collect. Instead of buying up a lot of rubbish, taking money and buying a lot of rubbish, and now they want some money, and can't get nothing for their own to go and do and fix up instead of annoying people. I'd be glad if they could do that there when they get the sale, and they know they have to do that when they get back out to work. Put down money that they can go after when they feel like, and leave the nonsense out of town. Everything you see in town that is being banned by where you want or where you need, is what you say.
By where you need and not where you want.
By where you need and not where you want. Buying up a lot of pretty clothes and things, you can't eat them. They can sell them there, they can't. But anybody don't call, they want money too.
It's definitely a time for priority, I could tell you. So I think the longer this thing goes on, I think the more people will get involved and understand. Well, thank you very much. Let's move on as we head towards the finish line. There are no more turns in this Brass Tacks Wednesday. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. You're on air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Corey. I'm calling about these institutions that know to tell you go online. And then it is not working. You can't get anything done. There's one bank in particular where they have the worst website. From what I'm hearing, you log on, you take the instructions, you do it. I can't get anything paid.
Somebody mentioned a bank, and they're having problems with that thing. So I guess the banks have to understand as more and more people go online to conduct these services, you need to get your website people in order. Make sure your website's in order.
They were giving this trouble from last year. They changed
the website. It is even more important.
And they will send you a verification code. When you put in the verification code, it will tell you it's the wrong verification code. So I don't know what I am to do. I can't get through to anybody I called. Probably somebody in El Salvador or something answered, can't speak English, and not the website. And she is telling me, right, go from left to right on the screen. And then she probably looked at my age from the security thing, and she asked me, "Mom, do you have a grandchild?" Because I am not seeing, and so something is definitely wrong with that website, because what I was seeing is not what she was seeing, and I couldn't get in my account for a long time to pay my bills. Now my house insurance is overdue, and the same thing is happening, and I'm immobile, I can't get out. So you know, it's all right. You know, everybody's saying go online. They have the same problem with Thomas. You tell you go online, and when you go in there now, there's no information. There's a deadline for the end of the month, and there's no deadline. I mean, there's no information in there for you to work with. So what do you do in a case like that?
These are things that we have to have people listening and be on standby to be able to offer you the type of help that you need, and also others, because in coming out and giving the answer to your particular problem, there are other persons out there that may share the similar problem and be able to benefit from exactly what you're experiencing. So we only have a few minutes left, so it may not come now, but it may come in Larry's show, or it may come in another show here on Voice of Barbados. So I thank you, and I wish you really and truly much better. A lot of pain out there, a lot of distress, but we're going to make this all together. Good afternoon and welcome, Brian Stats. You on the air.
Hi, Corey.
Hi.
Yeah, I just heard a gentleman who called from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that last week. It's okay to, it might be, you know, have it okay to say don't use the alcohol and everything. And if people can try to abstain, like now, that would be good. But for persons who are actually deep into it, or even alcoholics, they will have to put something in place so that if these people suffer withdrawal symptoms, what are they going to do? So that it is just go into more seriously than just withdrawing the alcohol from the shelves. You get where you're coming from?
Right, there must be a reason. I think the powers that be that came up with it should be in the position, really, and not for us to guess or assume why they did it, but for them to speak to that. Yeah? Thank you. Brastats, good afternoon. You on the air?
Yes, Mr. Corey, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Mr. Corey,
mm-hmm.
Now, I am a high-risk person. I don't want to leave home unnecessarily. I'm constantly calling the Oysters Polyclinic and cannot get nobody to answer that phone.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see a doctor. They say don't leave home, and I'm calling all the time, and I cannot get through whatsoever. No one is answering the phones.
You have the number that you have, you got, where did you get that number from?
I have got to call it that place. 83250.
The same number?
Yes.
And you're not getting any answer whatsoever?
When you call.
But glad you raised it here, because
nobody's answering that phone.
All right, I'm glad you raised it here, because I know that if they are not listening, somebody will be drawing it to their attention.
And you have a problem, you want to go and see the doctor, but you don't want to go there unnecessarily.
Right. They may not be able to answer at the same time, but they may be able to get back to you. Because trust me, I understand why it's not being able to answer everybody. Like, you're on your phone, or your phone in the background ring.
I've been calling for the whole week or last week.
Week?
Yes. I've been calling for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. What you could do is leave your name and number with the producer, and I can see if I can get them to call you, as opposed to you trying to call through to them. We could try it that way. We definitely are in unprecedented times, and we just got to help out wherever we can. Brastats, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, please.
Corey?
Yes, please.
This is about my second time ever calling. But let me tell you something. I got two questions to ask you. They're mm-hmm. going to be short.
Go ahead.
If you had to ask 10 people in Barbados if they believe Trump got sex, how much of only 10 you believe would tell you? Yeah?
Probably 2 or 3, if you go by statistics. About 30%.
Don't go further. I'm glad you asked me, sir. You know that I know we had so much Trump in Barbados. You know we got a lot of people in Barbados. you wouldn't have the friend to tell the immigrant coming up in the program. Mm-hmm. But we got some really great people about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's one. You see me? Every other scone used to run. You know, I got a lot of 7 people in Barbados here that working that don't pay the same. They tax.
Mm-hmm.
You know all the want money now.
They may not want it, they may need it. That's the problem.
They need it, Corey. They need it. Going to get a cent for me.
So you will let them starve?
Get hold of cut. Let me tell you something. You hear the test, but I'm for a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't a rainy day, this is a flood. Let me tell you something. And you know that all of we that pay me money now, we got to pay for them. When they get in thousands and they pay a cent to the government, then they're living free off of me all the time. And no come back, no the suck with the eggs. You can't get all these people that want money now. What happened to me?
That was like the squatters issue where some people would have said, you know, bulldoze them. As a society, what we have got to do is really look after the less fortunate among us. Some of them may not have paid, some of them may not have been able to pay, but we've got to be able to assess everybody and ensure that the most vulnerable among us is taken care of. We can do no less. It is okay for a citizen to do that, but a government has a responsibility, and it has that responsibility to live up to. It cannot be reckless.
Well, I will elect to be the government now.
Well, there's probably a reason you're not. Yeah?
Because I don't care what you want to tell me, Corey. These people are worth thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see fit to pay a cent of tax.
But then the assessment should bring that up. That should be part of the assessment. But if they are hungry and they are unable to provide something as basic as food, they must be able to be in a position to get help. That's how a civilized country is run, sir. Okay. All right. For the person that called 5383838. 5383838 is an option, is Urgent Care Mobile. They would actually come to you, so you don't have to worry about that. So I'm going to note that number. A lot of people are asking for the website that Jeff Brooms mentioned earlier, and it is VXL. That is VXL, and I had it somewhere here, .app, VXL.app. So you can look out for that. That's WEXCEL.APP. Good afternoon and welcome. You get to take us home this Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Stats. We take one more call. Good afternoon and welcome. Well, let me take this opportunity quick to go through some of the WhatsApps before we take that other one. Just hold, we coming to you. The pensioners, someone is telling me some postmen will hold the pension checks and bring all one time, and they're asking that people can bring them, people need them as soon as possible. We have to highlight the whole issue of as school moves over online, there are some people who are going to need assistance with technology, and some parents who highlight on the WhatsApp that they have to visit the school because they need some support. Someone's telling me in St. Martin and Alaska, they're using air to use to clean the toilet. And some person's asked for the waiver for water authority. And we have this caller on the line. Please, take us on.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Yes, please.
Just want to compliment you, first of all, on showing some empathy for callers as they call in to describe and discuss the various problems. There's a lot of frustration out there, and I listened yesterday afternoon to a young lady who seemed to be very, very frustrated with the process and who, it seemed to me, just required some help in understanding how to get over what she saw as a roadblock. And I think she left without feeling the kind of empathy and understanding that she deserved. And I sitting in the audience, you know, I felt sad because I couldn't offer her that level of understanding. The other thing I want to say is that we who sit and offer advice sometimes, you know, we really have to take stock of what is the reality for other people. Don't base other people's reality on what our reality might be, and don't, you know, lecture people in terms of what their responses should be.
It's true. But we have to go. I'm using background as I tell people. It's not for dancing, but it's really an indication that the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Dance is now over, and I want to take this opportunity to thank my producer, Abel, technical operator, Mrs. Michelle Braffitt. Take a bow, madam. And I want to thank all you who call, who message, who WhatsApp, whether you got through or not. well, in terms of supporting the program. And as you know, I only have one more thing to say. This lane is closed.